Mabuhay, Lizami. My name is Veronica, host of this podcast, Everything is Political, broadcasting here at Radyo Kapwa on CKUT 90.3 FM. Mabuhay. Joined by me today is...
Mathilde. Bonjour.
And yeah, this is going to be my third episode and my second episode for this month, actually. So once again, Everything's Political is broadcasting every first Wednesday of the month. And today is Mayo Uno. So happy Workers' Day to everyone who's listening to us. And also May is Asian Heritage Month. And also mental health. And y'all know this, Sant Kapwa's foundation is really all about mental health and well-being on the Philippinex youth and families. And we do it through art, movement, and conversation. We have the three mottos that we normally use: unite, uplift, and learn. And for today, we're going to do a little bit of mix of all of those concepts that I just talked about. So first things first, what I wanted to talk about is, it's Mayo Uno. So happy Workers' Day. And I wanted to give Pugay respect to all of our workers who continues to provide services for us. And I want to actually focus a lot on primarily and predominantly feminized work, so care work. This weekend is also Mother's Day, and so I wanted to kind of dedicate this episode to all of primary caregivers, primarily mothers, but also sisters, aunties, grandmas, and just generally speaking, those who provide care. I work in immigration. I work in a law firm who handles diverse immigration cases, but primarily refugee law. One thing that I always, like, that really makes me reflect is the fact that there's just a lot of documents. There's a lot of things that needed to be filled out, and a lot of them are redundant. A lot of them are repetitive. Now, most of my clients are mostly men and female. And one thing that I notice when I ask them for information, specifically if it's a family, is that they have zero clue. Have to go talk and then call their wife all the way from the other side of the world.
What day was your child born? I have no idea.
No idea. You know, and...
Do you have medical issues?
They have no idea. And, you know, it can become very frustrating as someone's job to, like, gather all of this information. And I see that for, like, most of my male clients, like, they get frustrated because I ask these questions and they don't have the answer. And I'm just like, well, I need the answer. You can't just give me no answer at all. You know, I'm like, I'm not asking this because I'm so curious. Like, when's your children's birthday? Like, the government wants to know. And I just revert back to how my mom handled all of our immigration documents that, you know, we came in here a landed immigrant already. So even back in the Philippines, she's already handled back and forth all of these forms. Like, each individual have their own forms, and each form must have, like, what, four sets of form, and each form has about 4 to 6 pages each. It's very redundant, and she's handled that all paper-based. And so I just wanted to really take this moment to, you know, highlight all the mothers out there who's doing their best, maybe doing it by themselves. Some of them are asking for help online. I see a lot of people online are asking how to answer the form. But for those who don't know all of this, would hire services like our firm. And that would mean, like, it would cost something. Right? So I wanted to talk about the sacrifices that they have done. And it's May 1st. So also as a worker, like, the amount of money that they need to allot to, you know, to advance their file, their cases, so that they can be reunited with their children.
To secure a future.
To secure a future for, you know, a better kinabukasan, better future, better opportunity and standard of living that they can provide for their families. So already they are separated because I'm working for the future of my family. But to endure just the temperature here, you know, like I'm from the islands. The extreme cold in here is, my scalp is not getting used to it. And I've been here since 2007. I just think that I'm rambling a bit, but I just wanted to highlight really how much of a sacrifices that they have done. And even I get tired sometimes, and it's part of my work. So I can't imagine what they felt.
Speaking of the Filipino community specifically, the role of mothers in the care industry often means separation because of the labor export policy in the Philippines. Do you want to talk about that?
Of course. Yes, of course. Duh. This is where the lens of being political came from, because you're listening to Everything's Political, Everything's Connected. And this is actually very much connected to, not just connected, but it's systemic. The labor export policy in the Philippines is very much rooted to exporting Filipinos, the actual laborers, out to countries like Canada. Canada has forged relationship in the Philippines to primarily like have a policy to get these laborers for a cheaper price.
Well, our relationship with the Philippines, I'd say, is a little more complicated, because another thing that the Philippines export is natural resources.
It's just literally extracting. So extractivism, mm-hmm, of not only our natural resources that damage our own ecosystem, which is why farmers in rural area need to go to the city, because they don't have any more livelihood. Wala nang panghanap buhay. Like, they're literally hanap buhay, looking for life, because they couldn't find life for them to live. Mm-hmm. So that's like a word, like not wordplay, but etymology, use of words. I'm not going to dwell on that because we're focusing on mothers. But I just wanted to say that it's cyclical and systemic, that they couldn't find hanap buhay where they are at. So they go to the city, still couldn't find something and or earn enough money to provide for their family. And that's where they take these jobs to, let's say, become like a nurse aide or like a domestic worker elsewhere. And I'm not, it's a, such a...
Qatar, in Canada,
exactly,
in Switzerland.
And this is where I really wanted to highlight that providing care I believe that it's priceless. And unfortunately, in the capitalist society created by men, caregiving is valued very low. When the mere fact that everyone needed this.
It's the contrast of the most needed jobs are often the ones that are paid the least and mm-hmm. that are the least valued. And something we saw during the pandemic, for example, our healthcare workers were battered and bruised. The first person who passed away from COVID in Canada was a Filipina nurse, right?
I believe, I don't know if it's the entire Canada, but I know that here in Montreal, Quebec, yes. Mm-hmm. And it was someone I'm not personally connected to, but I do know the person who is related to this person.
I mean, something I've learned along the years is that every Filipino in Canada is sort of just an X degree
That's
of
true.
Connection from each other.
That it's is also true. Sometimes I would be meeting with someone and I know that they have the same surname, but the surname is kind of popular as well. And then they were like, yeah, we're cousins. I'm like, yeah, okay, sure. And then they were like, no, we are cousins. And
like
I'm like,
close cousins. I'm like, we see each other at Christmas and stuff.
Oh, okay. Like, y'all visit each other every Christmas or like there's a big party. It's like, yeah, like they would travel all the way here. And I'm like, okay, so cousin, like blood cousin, not just because you have same surname cousins. And they're like, yeah. So again, this comes back to the community and to the kapwahood of that everything is connected, right? We need to pay attention to what is happening back home and this extraction of our natural resources, which preys on people taking these jobs, leaving their country, being separated from their family, and then uprooting their family, then planting the seeds in a new place, like let's say in Canada. And all of those would affect their well-being and their mental health. And we know in our community, we don't talk about well-being and mental health because you gotta go suck it up first. You don't have time to be depressed. If you have time to be depressed, you have time to work. And that work, that extra OT you did, that's enough money. That will be 12,000 pesos that you can send back home, right? Everything is always constantly calculating. And that's very detrimental for them to always count by the hour what you would have gained, what you would have earned if you just work more.
Something you mentioned earlier is separation of families, and I'd like to highlight the emotional cost of family separation. So, for example, a lack of connection between family members because you spend so much time apart from each other and the children had a different caregiver than their, let's say, mother or father, in this case, mothers. And that creates a lot of friction when reunion happens. And if it does, right? But let's say that separation is ongoing. There's definitely a certain level of anxiety that you are not cultivating this bond. You are letting go of all these potential memories that you could have made together. And especially when it's a single parent going away, the loneliness you must feel of not having that family bond and having this thing that, you know, as a parent, you were kind of born to do, which is to raise your child.
Exactly. And I would say that I would even go move forward and use a more precise word, in my opinion, which is I have been rubbed off this opportunity to bond with my family, to be able to create memories, my bruises when I was 8 years old, competitions that was lost because they're out there. Hanap buhay again for me, finding life for me so I can continue living my life. Again, it's a wordplay that I will do in the near future episodes. It's not a wordplay, it's etymology actually. And then once these children are reunited back, let's say here in Canada, we've heard this a lot with our youths. It's like, it feels like it's just I'm roommates with my own parents. And that just sucks in all parties, because as a parent, you're like very excited to have your children around because that's the whole reason you left the country, right? It's the whole reason why you did all of this procedure to become permanent resident so that they don't need to keep on applying for student permit. They don't need to go on and renewing their PR. My God, that is a hassle. I'm telling you right now, as I work in law firm, in immigration, a lot of hassle, a lot of insecurity and instability in the name of not having proper status. And we need to really take a moment to say thanks to our parents. And I would say in this case, primarily to our mothers.
The other side of this, though, is the confrontation that feels almost inevitable when children end up talking to their parents about, like, you did all this. You say it was for me when I really just wanted you around, right? This like sense of loss. And it's a sunk cost fallacy, right? The parents have invested so much into being away.
Utang na loob.
And that confrontation is inevitable, right? Yes. The like screaming matches where children are telling their mom like, or parents are telling their children, I did this for you. Why aren't you grateful?
Yeah. And
that's
again,
so much guilt put on the children who often, you know,
just yearn for your time. Like they just wanted you to be there. Like they just want to watch you cook, you know? Like children tends to compare a lot of their experiences towards their other peers.
Yeah. Talking about that, I think that children can be very cruel to one another. And a child in a school environment having an absent parent can be such a like pain point for them, as like comparing themselves to their peer and their peers sort of pressing that and being like, haha,
there's like a bullying, you know, bullying.
Like, your mom is a cell phone. That really sucks.
And not only that, there's a friction that creates trauma, but also the children who were, let's say, born here, so like the second generation, right? They have inherited a different type of trauma, which is different to, let's say, the 1.5 who joined their parents afterwards versus first generation parents. And all of those traumas are not being addressed. May is Mental Health Month, and I think it's very important for our caregiver to also receive care, because they have been giving care this whole time, but who's taking care of our caregiver? And you mentioned this earlier during COVID, right? They were forced to work. They have no choice. It's mandatory. You know, even if they have COVID, it's mandatory. CHSLD, I bet you, because it's at West I, so more predominantly English speaking, so more Filipinos are working in that area. And we heard horror stories of workers, they just left because obviously they were afraid of their lives, rightfully so. It was an unknown.
Well,
like,
it's not just that, like the myriad of things you're being confronted to as an essential worker, right? Like, mm-hmm. your children are home from school. Mm. You cannot leave your children alone at home.
Yeah.
You do not have access to childcare. Work takes the back seat, even though bills need to get paid.
Yeah.
And especially if your children have perhaps health concerns that make you more careful around yeah. COVID, as you rightly should, like forcing workers to work in this environment is just impossible. And I'm really scared we're going to get another pandemic eventually where we're just going to be repeating our mistakes again.
Yeah. And speaking of like caregiver, I also want to highlight our educators, who are again primarily and predominantly women, because mm-hmm. it's a feminized job, who again suffered a lot of like, how do you say it? Like
mental that, hardship, financial
exactly
hardship.
That industry, that sector, like just anything that is feminized sectors, just overall undervalued and underpaid, and they just don't deserve their current situation right now. And it's Mental Health Month.
Not just that, but it is Workers' Day. So
Workers' Day too.
Highlight the labor of educators and healthcare workers specifically, because their internships are unpaid to this mm-hmm. day, as are most internships in female-dominated sectors. Mm-hmm. I can speak for myself. I had a master's in information science. I did an internship in a university library, which was unpaid, and getting a paid internship in my sector is absolutely impossible. Mm. Just like in healthcare and education, it is impossible to get paid, basically. But if you are in a male-dominated field, such as law enforcement, engineering, mm-hmm. you bet your ass that your internship is going to be paid.
You're compensated handsomely, is
because
what they also say.
Because for some reason, engineering is more labor than healthcare. Who knows?
I mean, they take care of our, let's say, physical structures, infrastructures, and I do appreciate that. But also, the nurses directly take care of your health.
Oh, it's not a competition. Everyone should be compensated.
Properly.
Period.
Yeah.
Especially our public sector workers.
Yes. Especially those who are in charge of molding the future generation of the societies.
The young minds of our society.
You know, not just the brain, but like, you know, healthcare-wise, just health-wise in general, their emotional growth, their physical growth, their mental growth, and all of those, again, people who are in charge of those type of growth are once again primarily women. So how do we...
You know why? Because women are socialized to sacrifice more of our time, our energy, all of the things that we do requires sacrifice. Mm. And if you want a job in a female-dominated field, which involves a lot of care, you are asked, like, out the gate to sacrifice a lot. Mm-hmm. Which is why, like, people are like, oh, well, yeah, you want to be a teacher, so yeah. you're going to be giving so much of yourself.
That's
and
true.
That starts with your internship.
Yeah. I also want to highlight that Mayo Uno is Workers' Day, and May is Asian Heritage Month, and after May is June. And so let this be a warning to all of my fellow Asians and also my Filipinos that we are going to be told that we are hard worker, and they're going to compliment us with saying how much we are resilient
and family oriented.
Exactly.
I'm looking at you, Pierre Poilievre.
And to reject that, pay us well. Pay us well, because those compliment does not pay our bill, does not translate to money that we can send back home. And all it does is, in a sense, will kill us earlier, mm-hmm. right?
Who, an early grave with all of this work and all of this uncared for trauma yeah. and mental health issues.
You know, and to close this conversation, I guess I already talked about this already, but I just really wanted to highlight the fact that to this day, there's not much organizations that primarily focus on well-being and mental health of workers, primarily female temporary foreign workers who are in a caregiving sector, right? Who provides care for other people and, mind you, not paid properly. So workers, they... because they're like, what, paid minimum wage? Because that's what the law says. So if there's no law for minimum wage, they would be paid less than that. And they are like not only giving primary care to elderly or to kids, but they're also being told to do domestic work, which is, you know, once again, using the immigration status to hold that against them to be able to do things that is not part of their contract. But bahala na, you know, they needed status to be able to go and sponsor their children. So I'm mixing and intersecting a lot of like points that we talked about. But at the end of the day, Maya Uno, it should be at this point, it should be $25, our minimum wage, to be able to afford this greedflation we're facing. Mm-hmm. And also, again, highlight our primary caregivers, our mothers in my lens, mothers, refugee mothers who will do everything for their children. I mean, I mostly have a lot of male clients, but they all have the same goal, which is to provide for their family. But their family is not here because they're separated because of labor export policies. And so to close this conversation off, happy Mother's Day. It will happen soon. I dedicate this episode to all the mothers out there, new mothers out there, acting mothers out there, to my own mom there. I don't know if she's listening to this. Maybe she listens. Hi, Ma. And pay our workers well. And don't forget that we inherit this trauma and we need to take care of each other. So this is Everything is Political. Everything is Connected. And yeah.
Signing off.
Signing off. This is Veronica on CKUT 90.3 FM. See you again in the first Wednesday of the month. Mabuhay!
Ikaw'y nagsawa sa noong hinili. inaasahan pang bumalik.
Magandang hapon sa inyong lahat. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Chamavin Reyes. I am a youth leader and community organizer here bringing you Ipon News back home in the Philippines. The article is from the Philippine News Agency with the title, Government to Expand ENDSA Bus Carousel Routes Promote Active Transport. The government will expand and extend the EDSA bus carousel routes and prioritize the promotion of active modes of transportation to ease traffic congestion in Metro Manila, President Fernando R. Marcos Jr. announced in a short video posted on Facebook on Sunday. Included in the latest transportation initiatives are the refurbishment of Pasig River ferry stations and the construction of bridges across the river. To address traffic congestion in Metro Manila, we will expand and extend routes for EDSA bus carousel, refurbishing the Pasig River stations and constructing bridges across the Pasig River, Marcos said. We will prioritize active transportation facilities including the safe walkways and secured bike lanes to promote healthier and more sustainable modes of travel, he added. In another Facebook video posted Saturday morning, Marcos said he issued Executive Order Number or EO 56, which regulates the use of protocol license plates, and Administrative Order Number 18, prohibiting government officials and personnel from using sirens, blinkers, and similar signaling devices, after carefully considering the public suggestions on addressing the traffic concerns. Marcos, in another video posted Saturday evening, said the government is also fast-tracking the construction of transportation infrastructure projects by extending construction hours and implementing round-the-clock emergency repairs. The announcement of a series of traffic measures followed the Bagong Pilipinas Town Hall meeting on traffic concerns last April 10, where concerned national government agencies, local governments, transport groups, and other stakeholders tackled how to unify solutions to ease traffic congestion problems in our country, particularly in the metropolis. The president also encouraged citizen participation through the comments section of the town hall meeting's social media live feed. The article was written by Daryl Jan Esguera and published on April 22, 2024. Thank you so much for listening. Maraming salamat sa pakikinig. Once again, this is John Marvin Reyes, delivering you Philippine news from abroad.
Balik mula sa'yo sa tagulan. Yakapin mo ako sa takulan. Huwag mo akong pipitawan. Halik mula sa'yo sa takulan. Hindi kalilimutan sa takulan. Sa
sa Samahan ko ang iyong pangarap. Aalagaan ko ang iyong tiwala. Pipilitin ko di ka luluha. Karangalan maging iyong katuwang kaulayaw, hindi ako
to you, baby. Honestly, I'm a little thirsty. Share that juice, splash it on me, girl. No, nothing really matters now. But your lips on my skin, baby, baby. Get lost and let me take you out. I'll devour you, my cotton candy. I want you under my sheets, baby. Trust me, we don't need no sleep, baby. Your eyes and thighs make me weak, baby. Follow the clothes that you leave in the club till your head knackers, baby. I want you under my sheets, no.
Now pull me closer, just let me savor the taste of your skin. Blended flavors of white lies and lust, baby, coat me with sins. Nothing really matters now, yeah. But your lips on my skin, baby, baby. Get lost and let me take you out. I'll devour you, my cotton candy. I want you under my sheet, baby. Trust me, we don't need no sleep, baby. Your eyes and thighs make me weep, baby. Follow the clues that you leave. From the club to your head and neck is baby. Magdilim ang kalangitan.
panatagla sa gitna man ng kawala sa rumaragasang alon ikaw ang salvavida diba diba pag hindi na makaahon ikaw ang salvavida diba diba
sasabihin aking pinaghandaan di mapagkali aking isip at medyo kinakabahan di mo alam ikaw ang laging nasa isip di mo alam na ikaw lagi na lang nasa isip at puso ikaw ang laman sabi nila ay pag-ibig ang aking nararamdaman di mo alam ikaw ang lagi nasa isip di mo alam na ikaw
Bonjour à tous, c'est moi, Fanny Cristo, et on est de retour après la pause musicale. Vous écoutez à Radio Capois sur 90.3 FM, et nous sommes le 1er mai. And it's that time. If you don't know what I'm talking about, we're about to get into the community announcements. Come on, dit toujours. Mark your calendars. Let's start with tomorrow, Thursday, May 2, with the first day of the Festival Access Aziz. There'll be opening cocktails by Komodo X Dragon and a performance from Amrita Dance Creations and Barbara K. Diabo, followed by a DJ set from Jawad Nafal, aka Z.Nafal on IG. For more info on this event, go to their Instagram page at Festival Access Aziz. Prochain, le vendredi 3 mai, from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., the Yellow Door Org, located at 2590 Rue Jean Mons, will be hosting a dance party like no other. Seniors and youth come together for a morning party filled with throwback bops, dancing, lights, and delicious breakfast snacks. Whether you need a study break, are eager for the warmer days, or just want to groove, this is the place to be. RSVP now via email activities@yellowdoor.org or call them up at 513-845-2600 extension 3 and let them know about any dietary restrictions or if you have concerns about strobe lighting. As for the weekend, what's happening on Saturday? Well, this May 4 from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. at 7422 Rue Saint-Hubert Suite 301, Sciaspora is hosting a free event to discuss and educate ourselves about this digital universe in which our identities are constantly being defined and redefined. This event is designed to make sure everything you post online today doesn't get you stuck in the wheels tomorrow. They'll discuss the image you're returning, what you can improve to secure your online identity, and most importantly, how to continue publishing online safely and securely. To register, check out their Instagram page at Sciaspora. Following that, the next day on May 5, it will be the first edition of Sunday Shorties. I'm definitely going to be at this event because it's brought to you by someone from my hometown of Toronto. I'm talking about Fly Lady Die along with D'Eclectic and with some special guests every month. This day party full of throwback R&B and hip-hop jams will be at Poubelle Magnifique, located at 1221 Rue Croissant from 3 to 8 p.m., not to mention some amazing barbecue food vendors in the house. No cover, and bring your sunnies to lamp out in the amazing patio or on a cozy booth on the third floor. Warm up your singing voices because you'll need it for the big tunes all day long. And say what's up if you see me there, okay? Fast forward a few days, Tuesday, May 7, Vent Over Tea is offering a virtual workshop to give you a moment to use writing as a self-compassion practice to create space for unfiltered feelings and thoughts to be expressed, leading to revelations and a sense of lightness and increased mindfulness. You will learn the process of automatic writing and put it all into practice with a few sessions of guided mindfulness followed by poetry writing. Through this reflective process, you will have the opportunity to share with others if you feel comfortable. To register, check out their Instagram page at Vent Over Tea. Now let's fast forward about 2 weeks from now, and on May 18 and 19, the Black Healing Center is thrilled to announce that they will be hosting their second annual Black Wellness Summit. They will be partnering with some of their favorite Black facilitators to create a sacred space, and I quote, for us, by us, end quote. So what can you expect? They'll be having a weekend full of culturally relevant and Afro-positive events, such as workshops, panel discussions, and more. Stay tuned. Check out their Instagram page at Black Healing Center as registration will begin soon. All right. C'est fini. C'est tout.
Radio with Widget and my man Pro V.
All the way live from University.
Damn, Montreal.
On CKUT.
Nobody do it better, dog.
90.3 FM. Gone.
CKUT and the place to be from the bottom to the TOP.
This program is uncut. It contains strong language and some adult situations. Discretion is advised.
All the way live radio, CKUT, 90.3 FM every single Wednesday from 3 to 5. This is Pro V. Thank you very much for tuning in. Hope you enjoy the show. This week is going to be a Shock G tribute mix. Going to hear 2 hours of Shock G from Digital Underground. Shock G, aka Humpty Hump. I think he's the first artist in hip hop to have an alter ego and really, you know, before the times of social media, really play with the fans and have the fans thinking that there's actually an extra member in the group Digital Underground. So that was a lot of fun when he did that early in the 90s. And if you don't know about that, go check all that out. Go check out MTV Raps interviews and stuff like that. But yeah, man, an amazing artist, rapper, producer,